Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call the Baltimore Positive. Set a spot on your radio dial if you don't have one of those machines that doesn't have an AM radio. We're going to be on Wednesday at Fishmonger's Daughter in Catonsville, then next Wednesday at Coco's Pub. So I decided to wear the Coco's Pub shirt. I almost snuck down there on Burger Night on Tuesday, and it was actually a chicken sandwich. Don't tell anybody. We'll be there next Wednesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We will have the Raven scratch-offs. Also, our friends at GBMC putting us out on the road. I have some medical conversations around here. Had a real good one on sleep deprivation a couple weeks ago. Those of you struggling with sleep, it was really cool for that. And I know people in my life that have struggled. Also, our friends at Farnan and Dermer. Luke's wearing the shirt. I decided to give the bowling shirt up today. Zach Dermer's going to join me over at Fishmonger's Daughter, and we will hash it all out. New York Yankees in town. Luke was at the ballpark on Tuesday night, and dude, I hit the yoga mat and I taped the game and I, watched Melanie Newman for 5 minutes before, and the Yankees are in town. And I almost text you at like 6:25 because my friend Rachel Druckenmiller is singing the national anthem on Wednesday night. I've had her on the show this week as well. She's got a great story. I don't know many people that have actually been hit by a truck. She's been hit by a truck. So we joke about that, but it's not funny. But I watched the national anthem and I saw the people filling it, and I almost texted you and said, it sort of feels like a big game. It sort of feels like all that I talked about on Tuesday morning about, hey, this is kind of a big series on television. And again, Mass and Lies, don't ask me, Greg Bader runs it, but it felt energetic, and it felt like when it's 1-1, the Yankees are going to score a couple runs in the seventh inning and shut the door. And that's exactly that. This is the script for the last 30 years of Yankees, or for the most part. There have been some times where we're going to, but in a general sense, whether it's Tino Martinez or Cecil Fielder or pick anybody, Bernie Williams, whatever it is, somebody's going to score some runs in the seventh inning and get a big hit. And the bullpen's going to get its feelings hurt in Baltimore, because that's, I've been doing this a long time. That was right out of central casting, is what I would say on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I would. I it'd be tough for me to disagree with that, and I would also say it's right out of central casting for how Shane Boz's season has gone, and this Orioles team in 2026, how it's gone. I mean, Boz pitches, I thought, really well. I mean, especially on the heels of bouncing back from his last start in Minnesota, that was not good. I mean,
Big game
that
at home against the Yankees, ready to start something.
velocity
He
was
looked like a
good.
top of the line. He looked like a game two starter for me in October, if they can ever figure
I
this
mean,
out.
yeah, sure. Game two, game three, whatever. I mean, good, but it was a representative effort. It was a much better version of Shane Boz than we saw the last time out, where the velocity was down. That was one of the rare instances where the Orioles scored runs for him, and he ends up having his shortest and worst start of the season. Shane Boz was back to throwing heat. The curveball, the knuckle curve was outstanding. I mean, God, I think I saw there were 21 swings on his knuckle curve, and he got 10 whiffs out of those 21 strands. I mean, it's really good. That's good stuff right there, specifically for that pitch. He had a season high in strikeouts. They scored one run. You know me, Nestor. In modern baseball, how often do you hear me cite win-loss record for a pitcher? Never anymore,
Well,
right?
yeah, it's me and Jim Palmer pretty much
Right.
that talk
But
about that.
I'm just saying, I mean, in the modern game, there are so many other measurements that give you a more complete evaluation of a pitcher. And Shane Boz is a perfect example of that, right? He's 4-13 this year. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a Cy Young candidate or anything nuts, right? He's got a 4 ERA, but he's been a guy that more often than not has gone out there and given them a really good chance to pitch, or a really good chance to win every time he pitches. And yet he's 4-13. It's because he's had some of the worst run support in baseball this year. Now, I think I saw, don't cite me on this, that it's 100% accurate, but I did see it on social media that I think of qualified starters, I want to say I saw his run support is like second or third worst in the majors. One, I believe it. Two, it speaks to even decent run support. And keep in mind, he's also amongst the leaders in unearned runs allowed. The defense has especially been bad for him. Now, not so much on Tuesday night, weren't examples of that Tuesday, but with better run support, and again, not top of the line, just give me middle of the road run support for Shane Boz and a more representative defense time in and time out when he goes out there. Shane Boz would be way closer to 13-4 than 4-13. Not saying exactly, but it'd be close. Point is, he pitched well for them on Tuesday night. He gave them a really good chance to win. Josh Walker did not pitch well in relief, coming in the seventh inning, and ultimately leads to Boz having a couple more runs attached to his name. But they didn't score any runs. You know, they didn't hit the ball. I mean, they were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. They got the leadoff man on once all night. I get it. The Yankees pitch at an incredibly high level. It's the reason why the Yankees are 70-55. Their offense has been awful, awful for 2 months now.
But they can close the door when they got a 3-1 lead on the
They
road.
have great pitching. I mean, they absolutely, and they got Carlos Rodon back. Now, granted, Max Fried just went on the IL, but they get Carlos Rodon back. And he was on, you know, he was shortened up. You know, a pitch count wasn't going to allow him to go very deep, but he pitched well, and the bullpen was outstanding. But you got to score more than one run. I mean, it's just that simple, right? Just because the Orioles had a good week offensively, I'm not going to sit here and give the offense a pass. They lost because they couldn't score runs on Tuesday night. You go into a game and give up 3 runs, you should have a chance to win, a good chance to win that game. And they just didn't give themselves much of a chance. And, you know, I asked Craig Abernez about the seventh inning. They get two guys on and they pinch hit Jeremiah Jackson for Narvaez. And you know me, I'm not a big bunting guy, but that seemed like a situation, whether you're going to let the catcher hit there or you bring up Jeremiah Jackson or whomever, you lay down a bunt there. Top of the order then has the tying runs in scoring position. They didn't do it. Jeremiah Jackson swung, swung through, what was it, 3 straight pitches, I think it was. And then, you know, they didn't get it done after that. Jackson Holliday and Pete Alonso didn't get it done. But, you know, they had that opportunity and they had the opportunity in the second inning. They didn't cash in. Like, it was that simple. They didn't really have too
Well,
many
late in
other
the game, if
threats.
Pete Alonso hits a home run there, you know,
Sure.
that's how the Oriole magic happens, and
Pete
that has to
Alonso's
happen.
done some of that of late, right? But he
I'm just
can't do
saying
it
this
every.
week it has to happen when you're 4 games under 500 and you're chasing the ring. You
Yep.
know, all of a sudden they're not in the wild card lead anymore. I'm concerned, but
Yeah, I think they're fifth now because it just speaks to the night to night is just
in a
nuts. Yeah.
general sense, you know, I come on every morning and I try to be optimistic. You come on every morning and you like sort of urinate my Wheaties. And today you're right because like the Yankees showed up and I felt that playoff thing and that and Shane Boz goes out and gives them what they give them. And at the end of the day, it's well, we catch the ball when we want to, and even when we throw the ball in the dirt or pull the first baseman off the bag or make you just it's just very, very sloppy baseball, and to my eyes, having witnessed this for 6 decades now of watching baseball. But like the part where, like in the end, are they gonna, you know, are they gonna Lucy and Charlie Brown you? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like here we go. I mean, do you really believe in them? Nah. Did I really believe in them in the seventh inning? Did home run late in the game? Maybe once this week they'll do that. I mean,
Yeah.
they'll win one of these games in some dramatic fashion, but they might go 2-4 on the stand, and that. It's not, nothing's going to put a fork in them until all the rest of these teams stink bad enough, but,
Yeah.
or somebody pulls ahead. But I would say, like, Tuesday was particularly frustrating if you went down there and you got into the vibe of, like, you're sitting on your effing hands for 2.5 hours and nothing happens. Really, that was sort of the story of Tuesday night, right? Like, you showed up and nothing really happened.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe Mayo hits another home run off a lefty, right? I mean, we're getting to the point where, I mean, Mayo faces a lefty. You're kind of just waiting for him to hit a tank. I mean,
It's like
that's
Barry
just how it
Bonds.
is. He's the best power hitter. He's been the best hitter against left-handed pitching in baseball this year. I mean, that's go look at the numbers. It's incredible. We can talk about the flaws in Kobe Mayo's game, and those are evident. But man, there are very few hitters in all of baseball I want up there against left-handed pitching. As much as Kobe Mayo at this point in time. But yeah, I mean they didn't swing the bats and they didn't score runs, and these last 2 nights are exactly what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com. I mean, this is what this team has done all year long. They play well for a week or maybe 2 weeks. They have a really good series. You start to get excited about them. You kind of revert to your spring training expectations, your spring training optimism. And then they go out there and they remind you why they've been under 500 since the end of April, right? I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I went through the list of times where they've done these types of things, right? I mean, they had the 10-4 stretch back in late May and early June. And then right after that, they won one series in their next eight. They had the Dodger Stadium series win, right? They lost three straight series immediately after that. The seven-game winning streak back right around the all, you know, wrapped around the All-Star break. And then they lost three of their next four series. And that's what prompted Mike Elias to sell instead of buy, right? So, I mean, I can't sit here and say I'm surprised. And I'm not saying it's over. Like, look, like I'm not losing my head after a couple losses either. But what they've done the last two nights is much more representative of what we've seen of the Baltimore Orioles in 2026 than me overreacting and getting overly excited because they took three straight from the Rays at the Trop. It's a good series. It's a really good series. But that inability to sustain and extend and really use those types of stretches as a jumping off point to then just start playing better and to get back to 500, let alone get a few games over 500, they haven't done it all year. And that's where I just look at it and say, is this really going to change now? I mean, we can lay it out there. I mean, Samuel Basayo is going to be, his return is imminent. I think it's going to be, in the next couple nights. I would say by the weekend at the latest. Craig Albernez and the Orioles announced Blaze Alexander. And I'll give you the other name here that's really interesting, Felix Bautista. They're going to be starting rehab assignments here within the next week.
Yeah, I
So,
saw
Blake.
Albertez talk about that, and he said, I hadn't even thought about him in the
Oh,
same way
with
you and I
Felix.
haven't thought about him,
Yeah.
right?
I mean, I look, if he looks right, and I was talking to someone yesterday, it sounds like the velocity, it's not at 2023, 102 miles per hour, but I've heard that he's mid to upper 90s. So let him go on a rehab assignment. I'm not sitting here holding my breath that, oh my gosh, you're going to have Felix Bautista back. No, we got to need to see what this looks like. And ultimately, you need to do what's best for him and his career more so than trying to shoehorn him into the midst of this pennant race of sub 500 teams. But if he looks right and he feels right, and you can insert him in a September where you have an expanded roster, yeah, sure. I mean, take a look. I mean, you're seeing who they're throwing out there on a nightly basis with their bullpen. Of course, I'll take a look at Felix Bautista if he's feeling right. We can look at those things and you can try to paint an optimistic picture, but ultimately they've got to go out there and they need to win games consistently, and they just have not been able to do that. They haven't had the terrible prolonged stretches either. Right? I mean, their longest losing streak of the year is five games. It's not as though this has been a team that's had a bunch of stretches where they lose 11 of 13. But at some point in
They're not
time, if
inconsistent. They're consistently
I
under
th I
500
think,
by this much.
right, I've said this all year long. I mean,
You'll consistently lose 3-1 in the seventh inning against a better team.
you hear people use the term inconsistent for the Orioles all year. And it's not just the Orioles, any team that's kind of in this space, but because it's a euphemism for, you're just not,
Not good enough.
you're not terrible, but you're not good, right?
Right.
So, but that's who they've been. I mean, they have hovered between two and nine games under 500 since the beginning of May. I mean, they've been in that space all year long. I would challenge that they're actually quite consistent. Doesn't mean it's a consistent brand that you like, but this is kind of who they've been.
It's like
You like,
Sanka. It's consistent, but it's not very good.
right. Yes. I mean, that might be the perfect description there. I mean, they're not a terrible ball club by any means. But for me to sit here and that's why I was very cautious talking about the Rays series in the terms that some people were, not you, just in general, people trying to be excited. And I get that. Fans want to be optimistic and excited, and it is sitting right there. A playoff spot is sitting right there to be taken. But this is the latest example of the Orioles. They can't even get to one game under 500, let alone 500, or two games over 500, or four games over 500. So, and this is the latest example. They get to two under, and now they've dropped two in a row again. And you're still have five games to go on this really challenging homestand that, if it doesn't go well, and you said 2-4, like that, their MO would, the way they've played this year, coming home after the Rays series,
Feels about right for where they need to be
screams.
against these two good teams at, right?
No, but I'm saying like the 2-4 homestand, that kind of screams what they've been for most of the year, right? And that would not bury them by any means, but it would then once again put them behind a couple of
Then they
these
got to
other
go
teams.
sweep to, bad teams when they get them. And they don't have a lot
And
of that coming up, right?
even it's funny, I saw someone cite this. I mean, go look at the Orioles, their number of wins they have against winning teams. It's relatively impressive. Problem is, when you're talking about a sub 500 team, what does that mean?
You
That means
lose it to bad teams.
they've lost their share to bad teams too.
Right.
And that's where you just, again, it goes back to what we said. This is not a good ball club. It's not a terrible ball club by any means either, but it's just tough for me this deep into the season. I mean, talking about a team that's played 126 games at this point in time, that's why it's tough for me to put a whole lot in three straight wins against the Rays and saying, okay, here we go. This is who they are, more so than just reverting to what we've seen the last couple of nights, which is,
This is who they are.
a team that, it's been one or two steps forward and then two or three steps back all year long. I mean, that's
But it
just
really has
how it's
been the
been.
hitting. No one on this team has profiled to be. I mean, Jeremiah Jackson's coming up in big spots, and we're like, well, he had a
Oh.
big hit in April. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
they've
I
all
mean,
had a big hit in April. Mateo had a big hit the other night. He had big hits for us 3 years. I mean, all these guys, they're big league ball players. Something good. Taylor Teagarden's going to, win a game for you. But by the way, I had a LeVarnway visitor here this week. So, yeah, just backup catchers. I'm on all that. Maybe I'll get
there you
Jeff
go.
Tackett or something on here sometime soon. But I would just say everybody's capable, but then there's. I always go back to Johnny Oates turning over the buffet 35 years ago. Are you going to lead us? Are you going to lead us? Who's going to lead us? Well, Pete Alonso came up with, big ducks, and I'm not saying I'm down on him. He got
I
the
mean, he
big hit
can't
the
do
day
it.
before. He can't do it every night.
Yeah,
Every night
exactly.
it's a different star, but somebody's got to step up. And maybe this is the point where we talk about one of your favorite things, which is the bullpen, the bullpen, the bullpen, the
Yeah.
setup, the structure, the bullpen. And the Yankees have all of this money. And they go steal the Pirates guy, right? Like it is. They don't wow. It's not Mariano Rivera right now. It's not Stanton and Nelson and Rivera. It's not something like that. But it's better than whatever the Orioles have been trying
Sure.
to do. And listen, I'm not even down on Elias on this. He has spent money going back to washed up Craig Kimbrel through Batista and believing in him through. Investing in Helsley, and it's been unfortunate the bullpen situation because Elias, if he were here and defending himself, would say, "I did this and this and this and this. It's a bullpen. It's whack-a-mole. And look what Brian Baker's become." You know what I mean? We gave him away, and Wells is gone now, right? So,
Yeah.
seeing the Yankees do this, shut the door on the road quickly, 8-pitch innings, like that kind of thing. Throwing strikes, throwing a cutter that nobody can hit. Just like literally. You got to have that, man. You got to have that if you want to shut the door. You can't be. And I like Cano, and there's a place
Yeah.
in all that, but you got to have three dudes this time of year. You got to be working into
At
that. And I
least.
learned that in Kansas City 12 years ago. You got to
Sure.
have some dudes.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard me cite. I mean, look, there's different tiers to it, right? I mean, you need two serious, highest leverage kind of guys. One's your closer in the traditional sense, and you need someone else that can do that on the night your closer's unavailable, right? So you need two guys like that. And then for me, you need two or three other high leverage types that can really pitch in just about any situation, whether there's a big spot with the bases loaded in the sixth inning or whether it's the eighth inning, right? So, look, I mean, you look at the Orioles bullpen and how it's profiled this year, and I'm looking at the stats right now, season long stats, bullpen ERA. The Orioles are 15th, 4.13 bullpen ERA. Tampa Bay, who's got the best record in the AL, they're 16th, 4.16. Now, ERA doesn't tell you the entire story. What's the strikeout rate? What's the walk rate? How many home runs have you allowed? All those inherited runners, all the different things you could break down. But I guess my point in bringing that up is, if you had told me beginning of the season, Nestor, that the Orioles would be average with their bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball, I would have said to you, That's probably what Mike Elias kind of sort of has in mind. And that's without knowing that Ryan Helsley would miss most of the season. So I'm not giving him a pass. You know, I haven't been big on his philosophy with bullpen construction and certain moves they've made here and there. I wasn't high on when they signed Kimbrel a few winters ago, just as one example. But generally speaking, you and I have not talked about the bullpen on a very regular basis as being the reason why they've lost games. Would you agree with that? I mean, that has not been something where we've seen them blow a
I
slew
would
of
have said that was
games.
in our mind in February and March, but in April and May, the Rico Garcias and some of these guys stepped up, even when Helsley wasn't there. I would agree with you. It wasn't every night like they've got a 5-3 lead in the seventh and they're going to blow it. I mean, it hasn't been that act. It hasn't been that at
It
all.
hasn't been that. And
They've
and
had a
again,
lead, they've won.
generally speaking, they've done that. So, but that said, and that's where we bring it back to Tuesday night, for example, when you have a series like they had down at the Trop, where there was some pretty substantial bullpen usage. You know you're playing all week without an off day. You know that you have three against the Yankees and then three more against the Rays this weekend. Would you really? Is Josh Walker really your optimal choice if you're looking at everything on paper in a vacuum? If you had everyone at your disposal, if everyone's healthy? No, he's not, right? But at the same time, Craig Albert has. This is where I'll stick up for him a little bit because I saw a lot of fans questioning Josh Walker being in there, the fact that they left him in as long as they did, all of that. And I'll hear it. Like that, I thought those were fair questions, but it's funny. I was actually listening to Sirius MLB Network Radio on the way down to the ballpark because I just, I was flipping channels and networks, and I saw Terry Francona was on, and he was talking about the Reds, but also just talking general baseball. And he was talking about, as a manager, when you're in mid to late August, as much as like, if you have your entire bullpen rested and your starter 2 days ago went eight innings and you're coming off of an off day and everyone's full strength, there's a way to deploy a bullpen to try to optimize the matchups, right? Maximize lefty, lefty, righty, righty, all that kind of stuff. But he said, you know what? When you're 135 games into the season, on most nights, it's rare when you really have a chance to do that. You're kind of looking at it and say, okay, who are my guys that have the most bullets available tonight?
Tonight,
Who is available tonight, but I'd like to stay away from them? And then who are the two guys that have thrown three of the four previous days that I need to stay away from entirely? Right? And that's before I even get the batting practice in, and I'm,
especially on a Sunday afternoon if the series started on Thursday night, right?
Correct.
Like, literally.
Correct. So, and I'm not even saying like again. I'll hear like Josh Walker had a really long rope there. Like I would agree with that. At the same time, you're this deep into the season, you don't know what's going on in terms of how these pitchers are feeling with their arms, with their legs, back, all of that. So, but Francona really made the point. He's just like, look, man, in a vacuum, there are lots of moves that I would make differently as it pertains to my bullpen and my pitching in a perfect world. But when it's August 19th or August 18th or September 10th, and all these guys have, I don't know, 50 innings, 50 plus innings under their belt, the guys that you actually want to turn to on a nightly basis, you've got to be a little more judicious. You need to be a little more selective and responsible with how you deploy these guys. So, point is, I guess it's a long story short way of saying, they've got some guys that are miscast in this bullpen right now. I think that's evident. That said, Cam Sanders has given them some really big innings here of late, and Alex Hoppe has really been impressive with the arm that he's
And
shown.
guys
So,
that at the All-Star game we were not taught a month ago, they were not a part of the mix. And
weren't
can
even
they
on
be a
in the
better part of the
organization.
mix? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're now replacing those Tyler Wells innings, and that's the way Elias saw it. And that's the way it's going to be. And Albernaz as well. I mean, I don't know that Albernaz was in on all the trades, but probably was on Tyler Wells. Like, I'm going to take this away from you. Well, what am I going to do? You know, how are we going to make those pitches, those innings, those matchups, that leverage point in the game work for us if we have a lead?
Yeah, and that's where it's challenging, but at the same time, you also give someone an opportunity, and sometimes you have no other choice to give someone an opportunity that you otherwise wouldn't do it. But like I just said, Cam Sanders has been really, really good. Now, I'm not going to sit here with full-blown confidence to say he's going to continue to do this through the end of the season and into next year, but you might get him doing this for 3 weeks. And that might be an eighth inning guy for you for 3 weeks. I mean, Rico Garcia was that guy early in the year. First 2 months of the season, he was one of the best relievers in baseball, let alone talking about what he was just doing for the Orioles. But we've also seen how that's gone the last 2 months. He's been better of late, but certainly not the same level of reliability. So as it pertains to the pen, yeah, you've got some guys that are kind of in miscast roles, and you're not really. Okay, who's the ninth inning guy on any given night? Who's the eighth inning guy? A lot of it's matchup dependent and what part of the order you're in and all that. That's why I said, yeah, if Felix Bautista's going on a rehab assignment, and if it goes well, and if he looks good, and more than anything, if he feels good, of course I'll throw him in the mix and see what it looks like. I'm going to be smart about it. I'm not going to have crazy expectations that I'm getting the Felix Bautista from 3 years ago, but. Yeah, their bullpen's in a spot where if he can be 85% of that, that's still probably better than at least a couple guys they have in their bullpen right now. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, disappointing an effort from Josh Walker. But again, it comes back to this team was built to score runs and score runs at a high level. And too many times over the course of the season, it's their offense that's come up smallest relative to what their strength is supposed to be. Going back to how Mike Elias put together this roster, good, bad, or indifferent.
The rest of the week and getting through this and waiting on help and all of that. I don't even want to hear about September games when the best teams in baseball are in your ballpark, right? Like
Sure.
th this, if they stumble here this week, I'll become the negative one on them next week. But I still feel like they're hanging in on a night by night basis, and it does feel like the frustrating part is Alonso is coming up with runners in scoring position late in the game. Even on nights when they can't muster it, they get a good start. They're in games. To your point, like they're frustrating enough that at 8:30, 9 o'clock, you put them on, they're in the game. They have a chance every night.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to what I said. I mean, this has not been a team that, as frustrating as they've been to watch, and my goodness, this has been a very frustrating team to watch for most of the season. They're generally in it. They generally have a chance, right? And they don't have these 2 week periods where they go 2-10 either. They've been a team that's been in it, but man, you just. Tuesday was another example of a game that felt very winnable. I mean, they get a really good bounce back performance from Boz, eased all your concerns about the velo being down the previous time out, the fact that he talked about not feeling right. And you and I just had a discussion the other day about, their pitchers and their workloads and, not so much Boz, but Kyle Bradish looking at his workload compared to the last couple of years. Brandon Young being at a career high for innings already, way more than last year already, and him not looking as crisp the last few times out. But when you get a start like that, when you have a starter getting into the seventh inning and has only allowed one run to that point when you hand it over to the bullpen, those are the kind of games you want to win. I mean, that's the thing. We can all sit here without even pulling up the schedule. You and I. If we, I'm not putting you on the spot or anything here, but if you and I sat down and just said, let's just between the two of us, we could probably come up with six or seven games pretty quickly where you'd say, if the defense were better, or they came through in this spot or that spot, or they didn't have that base running
Also
blunder.
stole a game a week and a half ago
Sure.
too. It's baseball. It kind of
Oh, of
all weighs
course, of
out,
course.
right?
And I'm not belaboring that too much. Let me be clear. Look,
What is
61 and
it? All
60.
balances out is what they say, right?
It does, but at the same time, when you are talking about a race as unimpressive as this race is, boy, if there's just
Oh,
a couple games
every
there.
game, believe me, we're going to come back in October when they miss it by 2 games and
And
say,
Yeah.
that night in Kansas City, or whatever the night was,
Yeah. Or, and again, I don't say this to pick on them too much, but it's the truth. We'll look back at it and say if you got a representative season from Gunnar Henderson, right, who has been way better over the last week, and you need to see that continue, right? Otherwise, it's
All
just,
is
well, it was a
forgiven if
good
they play
week.
one playoff game in October
So,
because of him.
well,
Because
I
it will
mean,
be because of him over the next 6 weeks. It will be because of him and others. But he has to be a huge part of this because it's not going to be Blaze Alexander hitting 12 home runs the rest of the year. It might be Tyler
yeah.
O'Neill, but it's
I
in a
mean,
general sense, carrying the team and looking like the aircraft carrier that you. I just call it a superstar, right? Like you're
sure.
supposed to, you want the $500 million contract. You got Boris ready to get. Okay, go earn the money, dude. You can't
Yeah.
hit 213 and tell me in the prime of your career when you're 26 years old and tell me that he's not even 26. He's 24.
He's 20, I believe 25 now.
Five now. Okay. All right.
Think he just turned, let me double
Well, I
check on
mean,
that, but I'm
either
pretty sure he
way,
just turned 25.
tick-tock. This when we looked at him 3 years ago, this was supposed to be a 280, 35 home run, 115 RBI, lead us to the playoffs kind of year. A year when, I don't know, we win 92 games or something like that. There was this guy on the radio that
I mean,
said
that's
that a
sir.
few months ago.
Let's go back to 2023. Now, he got MVP votes that year, but it's not like he was an MVP, top three or anything like that. I mean, 24 is when he had the insane first half, right? But if the Orioles were just getting what they got from him in 2023, played 150 games, batted 255, 28 home runs, 29 doubles, 9 triples, drove in 82 runs, stole 10 bases. He had a 325 on base percentage. Slugged 489. I mean, he had a 814 OPS. If they got that from Gunnar Henderson, which, is not MVP level, but that's certainly all-star level at the shortstop position, this team would absolutely, they'd probably have a two or three game lead in the wild card race right now. And that's even with everything else going the way it has, right? The ups and downs of others and injuries, the pitching injuries at times and everything else, third base situation, outfield picture being an absolute mess. If they had that version of Gunner or even last year's version of Gunner, they would be in a playoff position right now. Now, let's be clear. That's just this team being in a playoff position in this season, in a big picture sense. It's no accomplishment to write home about, right? You're still talking about a team that in that scenario would be 500 or barely above 500. I mean, that's still not the goal in the big picture sense, but it does speak to how disappointing he's been this year. I mean, even with the recent hot stretch of the last week, you're still talking about someone who has a 700 OPS. That's even after going nuts the last week. I mean, he's been below average at the plate. I mean, he's been slightly below league average at the plate this year. It's
That's
not
not a
how you draw it
superstar,
up.
dude.
It's not how you draw it up in the offseason if you're Mike Elias. And that's where I'll defend Mike. Now, I would also say Mike Elias and the front office and the coaching staff, what the heck? Why can't you get this guy fixed and back on track? That's a fair criticism. But in terms of how you're designing your roster, how you're putting together your roster, how you're laying out a roadmap for you to be successful, there was never a scenario where you say Gunnar Henderson's a below average hitter at the plate. I mean, it's just not how it works. Pete Alonso has been everything they could have asked for, especially from May 1st on. He's been terrific, but it was supposed to be Gunner and Pete Alonso. As I said back in spring training, Cal and Eddie, right?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Not two Hall of Famers necessarily, but in terms of that kind of impact that they needed, and they got it. They've gotten it from Alonso, but certainly not from Gunnar Henderson to the degree that they needed. That's stating the obvious.
Here's Luke Jones. We're going to watch more baseball. The Orioles in town all week long. He'll be at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The Ravens in Minnesota this week. We had some words about O.J. Bergantz as well. I've got something half written. I'm hoping to finish it here this week. We got new sponsors. We got things happening. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Wednesday at Fishmonger's Daughter in Catonsville. We'll have the Ravens scratch-offs to give away. You can join us at Coco's Pub on the 26th. That's next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to celebrating my Best of Baltimore Reinvention Award. Max Weiss and Ron Cassie are going to come together. I have props. Let me tell you, I have props. And I did a great segment with Joel Poyle. You know, Luke, you and I talk a lot, and you get so annoyed with me, except when we're next to each other having crab cakes, because it's like game on, game on, tonight's game, tomorrow's game. Joel and I got into strikeouts and players and strikeouts, and I did a whole dissertation on my little league about how little I struck out in little league and how significant it was to my psyche to never strike out. And it's probably one of the reasons I did like 15 minutes with Poily, you know, about my little league and about my dad and about the time I struck out the one time in Berkshire Little League. And I don't think I came out of the house all weekend because there was so much shame in striking out as a kid. So I've had some good baseball conversations this week. Luke's going to be here. Alan's going to stop by at some point. We're going to talk some baseball, and we're really going to get into football season on the back end of this fake football in Minnesota. It's our 28th anniversary. On the 28th of the month, next Friday, I'm going to start celebrating 28 music memories that are going to lead into our 35th year on Baltimore radio. So, sort of leaning into the fact that I've been here longer than the rest of these folks, and we might know a little bit more, maybe. Set your dial at AM 1570. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive and crab cakes.